Whispering Streets. And here is Betty Davis.
Hello. Some whispering streets are traveled by foot, and some wind up like a brown ribbon under a car. But a car hadn't come into the equation when Angela and Henry Moore were on their honeymoon. They were completely happy because they had each other.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful.
What is?
Three guesses.
Being married?
Oh, you got it right the first time. That's cheating. Oh, how did we happen to find each other, Hank?
Well, I came into the office one day, and there was a new girl at the corner desk in the big room. And she saw me and started making hi signs, so I went over to her desk, and then I discovered that she was engaged, and my heart sank.
Oh, why, you fibber. I never made a hi sign in my life, and your heart didn't sink. Why, I didn't know you existed until a shadow fell across my desk, and I looked up.
And there I was. What did you think when you looked up and saw me standing there, Angela?
I thought, that's a repulsive character. I thought, what a frightening face. I thought, I'll have to break my engagement very, very fast. I thought, that's for me.
Oh, darling. If we hadn't found each other, life would have been an incomplete mess. When you're in my arms, the whole world's in my arms.
A beautiful wedding and beautiful wedding presents. A $500 check from your Uncle Henry. Three $100 bills from my Uncle John. Hey, my uncle was tight compared to your uncle. Hey, we'll put our $800 in a bank. It'll be our nest egg. We'll add a little to it every week. We'll call it our house fund.
Or our baby fund.
Our twin fund. I want twins. Oh, aren't we the lucky ones, Hank? A beautiful honeymoon with a blue lake and blue sky. And never a drop of rain. And a beautiful apartment all furnished to go back to when the honeymoon's over. Oh, take a good look at me, Hank. What do you see?
The prettiest girl on earth.
The most contented wife on earth.
Look at me. What do you see?
The handsomest man in the world.
The most contented husband, you dope. Kiss me. Oh, and again. Oh, honey, and again.
Angela and Henry on their honeymoon, ecstatic, feeling as if they'd personally discovered love and that glamorous institution called marriage. They preserved the illusion of the honeymoon for the most part during the long months of the winter. And then spring came and the serpent entered Eden. One warm Sunday...
Gosh, I'd like to have a car. It's stuffy being indoors on a day like this.
You used to look forward to Sundays. You didn't think Sundays were so stuffy when we were first married.
Oh, but just the same, I'd like to have a car.
Well, I'd like to have a diamond necklace. I'd like to have a rope of pearls. And I'd like to have an emerald wristwatch.
No, I'm serious, Angela. I really would like to have a car. Do you think we could swing it?
Well, I don't see how, darn it. We spend every cent as it is.
We can try economizing for a change.
You mean stop eating?
Other people have cars. We don't have to stop eating. We can just skip the porterhouse steaks and the thick chops. A young fellow at my office has a car, and he'd sell it to me cheap.
What's cheap?
Oh, $800. My Uncle Harry gave us $500 for a wedding present. Your Uncle John gave us $300. That's $800. Just lying in the bank gathering moths. Let's shoot it on the car, honey. Let's live it up.
I really think you mean it. Oh, it's impossible, Henry. You'd better put the whole idea out of your mind.
When we were first married, nothing was impossible.
Well, that's because we didn't want anything except each other. Where are you going, Henry?
For a walk. I can't sit around the house all Sunday doing nothing, slowly dying of boredom.
In just a moment, Betty Davis will be back again. But first, After having won a revolution, the American people of 1787 were suspicious of almost all government officials, whether elected or not. James Sullivan of Massachusetts, however, tried to quiet their fears with these words. The senators and representatives whom you elect, and the members of the state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, shall be bound by oath to support the Constitution. But no religious test shall ever be required to hold any office or public trust. Thus, they will be elected to protect our rights and liberties and will be bound to guarantee to us a government that is a republic in its fullest extent. What is there more that we can wish for? Mr. Sullivan was right, and so were the men who framed the Constitution, because they did so not only for themselves, but for the future. We today are that future.
And now back to our story with Betty Davis.
Car, car, car. Angela heard it morning, noon, and night. And you know what a constant dropping doeth to stone. It weareth the stone away, and Angela's heart was warm and throbbing. It wasn't a heart of stone, not by any means. But Henry kept on and on.
I wish you'd look at Vic's card just once.
Vic?
Vic Brady, the young fellow in my office who wants to sell his car. It's a honey.
Well, if it's a honey, why does he want to sell it?
Well, Vic's going into the Army. He won't need a car there. I've asked him to drop around tonight, Angela.
Is he bringing the car?
Well, you don't suppose he'd come by subway when he has a car, do you?
Well, no.
Maybe he'll take us for a little drive, if we're on our good behavior.
You're full of tricks, Hank, aren't you? Okay, we'll take a little drive, but it won't do any good.
So Vic Brady dropped in, a boy with a big grin full of teeth and eyes that were almost too honest. He asked the young Moores to take a drive, and Angela didn't want to be rude, so Vic circled the park several times, and they stopped in at a restaurant and had a sandwich and coffee, and Vic paid the check. And then they went back to the apartment.
This apartment's going to be awfully hot when summer comes. No cross ventilation to speak of.
If you have a car, you can go out driving every night when it's hot. There's always a breeze when you're driving.
Oh, it sounds marvelous, but... Oh, Vic, we just can't afford it. Truly, we can't.
But Henry says you have money in the bank.
Well, that's our nest egg.
If we have a car, we'll save our dough, Angela. We won't have to spend anything on a vacation. Right, Vic?
Right, Hank. With a car, every weekend's a vacation.
We could go to the beach each Sunday, Angela. Oh, and you're something for the birds. Meaning seagulls, in a bathing suit.
I can see right through you, Hank. You might as well be a glass picture window. We were going to add to the savings bank account every week. Remember?
And we've added just $25.
It hardly seems worthwhile. I mean, saving when you're young. Plenty of time when you're middle-aged. And there isn't anything else to do but save money.
Vic makes sense, Angela.
I tell you what. I'll meet you halfway.
Meaning what, Vic?
Well, you can have my car for $7.50. It's a steal, but...
Well, what do you know about that, Angela?
Vic's very generous, but... Vic, would you mind if we had somebody go over the car before we say yes or no? I mean, some qualified garage man.
Vic says that the car's in perfect condition, Angela, and I trust him.
Vic isn't a qualified garage man.
If Angela doesn't believe me, Hank, let's skip the whole deal.
Angela, you've hurt Vic's feelings.
I didn't mean to. I wasn't implying anything, Vic. You know that.
No hard feelings. When will you want the car?
Well, how long would it take me to have things transferred? You know, insurance and everything.
I could get it all fixed by tomorrow night. You could drive home tomorrow night in your car.
Vic can drive to the office tomorrow morning, leave the car out front, and you can meet me at my office tomorrow night. And we can drive home together, stopping somewhere en route for dinner. Oh, boy, aren't you getting a little bit excited?
I'm so excited I can't think straight. Oh, I hope we don't regret this, Hank.
That's some girl you married, Henry. You'll never have to worry because she doesn't look before she leaps. You're safe, all right. With a wife like that, real safe.
So a radiant Henry and a subdued Angela went to the bank next noontime and drew out $750. That left $75 in the bank. As Henry said, they were keeping the account open in a big way. And that night after work, Angela met Henry at the office, and there was the car sitting at the curb. Henry helped Angela into it with a flourish. He walked around it and climbed into the driver's seat, and a minute later, they were weaving their way through traffic.
What a time I had, transferring the insurance and registration. Lucky I already had a driver's license. What? You're shivering, honey.
So are you.
This is us, baby, in our car.
I didn't notice the spots on the slip covers when Vic took us for that drive. Of course, it was dark. And there's a dent on the right front fender.
Oh, skip the fender. Listen to the engine. It runs like a breeze.
Hank, darling, red light. Oh. We went through a red light, and there was a policeman standing on the corner. Oh, dear.
Well, it was your fault. You distracted me talking about dents and fenders and spots on slipcovers.
Oh, sure. Blame it on me. You were the one who wanted a car, not... Here he comes. Smile, Hank. Try to be convincing and casual.
I'm smiling. Oh, how do you do, officer? I'm sorry. We didn't see the light. We didn't see it at all. That's why we went through it.
They got their ticket. They drove along in silence, Angela and Henry Moore. They stopped for the next light. They weren't talking, so it was easy to concentrate on lights. But during the interval between changes, Angela spoke. She was studiedly careful.
I wonder how many men named Moore have Henry for a first name. I should think every Mrs. Moore in the world who had a boy baby would be tempted to call him Thomas. Believe me, if those endearing young child...
Shut up, Angela.
It's the first time you've told me to shut up since we're married. Oh, I don't know what's gotten into you, Hank.
You were never so consistently annoying.
Green light. Hank, would you mind driving me directly home? I have a few things to do, such as washing out one of your shirts so that I can iron it in the morning before you go to work.
Rub it in that you haven't a laundress.
But we have a car, Hank. Why should we have a laundress when we have a car? How much do you have to pay for that ticket the policeman gave you?
In just a moment, Betty Davis will be back.
Mechanic, the butcher, everybody else is getting your money, but how about you and your family? Pay yourselves first by joining the payroll savings plan. It automatically sets money aside for you and your family every payday in United States savings bonds, which now offer an interest bonus. Make your money count. Join payroll savings today.
Take stock in America by U.S. savings bonds.
Now back to our story with Betty Davis.
It wasn't all headaches, that car, not by any means. The young Moores did have fun with it on warm evenings and on Saturdays and Sundays. They had gay little picnics. Once, when they were out late on a Saturday, they stayed at a tourist camp all night and felt like a bride and groom all over again. But they went to the beach Sundays and got caught in traffic on the way back. And...
Oh, we've been crawling along for hours, inching our way home. It's simply horrible.
We're no different from all the other people. Everybody's inching. Oh, hang it. We've stalled again. this constant stopping and starting gets me down.
You and your perfect engine. Oh, Mick stuck us all right.
Any car would stall at a time like this. Oh, I'm so hot and sticky.
It's the dust on top of the sunburn we got at the beach. I'm hot, too. If we didn't have a car, we'd be in a nice air-conditioned movie.
Shut up, shut up, shut up.
That's all you ever say to me nowadays. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You've become Mr. Henry One Note. We haven't been married a year yet.
No kidding. I thought it was 20 years at least.
When they reached home, it was very late, and they weren't speaking. They went to bed silently, but when Angela began to cry, Henry rolled over and took her into his arms. It was unfortunate that, in their weariness, they'd parked the car too close to a fire hydrant. When they saw their second ticket next morning, the argument started all over again. But then it rained most of the week and they weren't tempted to use the car. So things went smoothly until the next Saturday. And then...
Let's go somewhere and stay all night like we did the other time, Angela.
It's been kind of a gloomy week. Okay, let's. Except for the traffic coming home Sunday night.
We'll start home at noon. We'll get in ahead of the traffic and beat the rap.
Oh, Hank. Hank, you're a genius.
And maybe we can find ourselves a lake not too far away. Like the one where we spent our honeymoon. You're looking mighty pretty today, Mrs. Moore.
Nothing matter with the way you look, Mr. Moore. That's a very handsome sports jacket you're wearing.
It was the major part of my trousseau. Oh... We're being so pleasant to each other that I'm almost scared, Angela.
So am I. It can't keep up this way. Not with us. My mother used to say, good beginnings make for bad endings. Oh, something's bound to happen.
Something's bound to happen. It seemed as if Angela and Henry had been tempting fate. Anyway, they had a blowout when they were on a lonely stretch of road, no garages for miles. So Henry changed the tire, muttering to himself as he did it. Angela wandered away to pick flowers. When she came back...
Still at it?
Something's wrong with the jack, but I'll have it in a minute. What are you going to do with those flowers?
Put them in water, when and if I get home. I'm a city child, and picking flowers in a field is a big thrill.
That pretty little vine you picked is poison ivy.
Oh, good heavens. You suppose I'll get it all over my arms and hands?
No, it's possible. Well, the tire's fixed now. We can go on. Tell me when you begin to itch.
Seems to be acting in a funny way. Did you remember to have the tank filled? No, you didn't. You're on empty. I hope you can make it to the next garage.
Anytime you hope I can make it. You'd love it if I had to walk 30 miles for a can of gasoline. Ha-ha! You lose, Angela. There's a garage just ahead. You see the sign? Mike Melton's place.
Oh, it isn't a very pretentious garage. I think the back part of it is the garage owner's home. See that young woman on the porch? She has a child in her arms. The child looks sort of listless.
So what?
So nothing, except that I feel like the child looks.
You should feel listless. 2 gallons of gas.
Sure thing. How about oil?
I wouldn't know.
Looks like you have a slow leak here.
Well, let it leak. Yeah, here's your money.
You didn't have to be rude, Hank. A slow leak on top of everything else. It's the absolute end. Hank, do you know something?
I know you're a blame disagreeable...
I think we should have a divorce while we're young and can start over and... Hank! There's a car coming out of the crossroads!
In front of them. Brakes put on too quickly, worn tires skidding, a telegraph pole. Slowly, still choked with terror, Angela and Henry climbed out of the wreck.
Are you hurt, darling?
Only shaken up. You?
No, I'm just shaken up. The car's gone, though. Hood's telescoped in, and it's ready for the junk heap, I'm afraid.
Oh, but we're not. Oh, Hank. What if we were dead?
Please, please, honey, there. Don't cry. Please. I'm holding you. We're not dead, honey. And the heck with the car. We've got each other. We can be happy without a car.
As happy as we used to be when we were first married. Because we've got each other. We're right back where we started.
More in this confused and confusing world. Who wants a diamond necklace or a rope of pearls or a platinum airplane when we've got each other? Mike Melton, who owned a garage, felt that he also owned a big piece of the world, and so did his wife, Ruby. They had a business of their own and a dearly loved little girl. They didn't realize that anything or anyone could intrude on their happiness. The snake that entered the Meltons' vine-covered Eden was far more sinister and deadly than a second-hand car. You'll agree with me when I bring you the Melton story. Until then, this is Betty Davis saying goodbye from the Whispering Street.
Today's program was written by Margaret E. Sangster. Featured in the cast were Gloria Grant, Tommy Cook, and Roy Story. Whispering Streets was directed by Gordon T. Hughes and produced by Ted Lloyd. Your announcer is James Matthews.
Whispering Streets has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.